Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, Kool-Aids. Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm your host, Troy Cadot. Joining me today, super excited about this, is Victor Valanchek, the president of the Peña down in Houston, Texas. As we talk about the big news today, Jordi Alba announces his departure from Barcelona at the end of the season. We'll also talk about Barcelona's loss to Real Valladolid this past weekend. Also, the recent rumors about Koundé, does he want to be sold or not? And then Victor will give us an update on the Barca tour in the United States. Before we get to these topics, here's a quick word from our sponsor, NordVPN.
Are you tired of hackers and cybercriminals snooping around your online activities? Do you want to safely access your favorite shows and content from anywhere in the world? Then you need NordVPN, the best VPN on the market. And the good news is that there's an exclusive birthday deal just for you. Buy NordVPN now and win extra subscription time. With NordVPN, you can protect your online activity and keep your private information away from prying eyes. And if you're traveling abroad, don't worry. Connect to a NordVPN server in your home country and safely enjoy content as if you never left. So what are you waiting for? Visit NordVPN.com/Barca now to get this special birthday deal. Shield your data from snoops and criminals with NordVPN's state-of-the-art encryption. Safely listen to podcasts, stream shows, or simply browse in complete privacy. Again, visit NordVPN.com/Barca. The link is in the show notes. Get NordVPN now and enjoy a safe and private online experience.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hola, Victor. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Troy, man. It's good to be here with you. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, super excited about you joining me today and we kick into these topics. This morning, you know, I woke up and my normal routine now is to just go straight to Twitter. You know, as you know, if you're a Barca fan like we are, it's as the Barca world turns, the soap opera. And today did not disappoint. So as soon as I jumped into Twitter, we got Jordi Alba news. Jordi Alba has announced, or the news broke, it's official now. Barca has even said it on their social media channels that he will be leaving after the season. Okay, he's leaving short because he had one more year on his deal. And just so everybody's clear on that, next year he was due €38 million, not dollars, in euros. Some of that was his regular salary, and some of that was due to the deferred wages from a couple years and probably maybe even to last year, you know, when we were really, you know, shoulder deep in trouble. Regardless, 38 million euros that he's left on the table. What do you think about all this?
I mean, that's something else. It, you know, begs the question as to, you know, how, you know, obviously we know how he's a well-paid professional athlete, but I also did a quick little research on that as well. And the 38 million euros, but yeah, it did say in Mundo that, that he was supposed to get the deferred from the pandemic money, like 20 million euros he was supposed to still get, but it's everything after that he wasn't going to get, like that he chose to not take. So sounds like he's still getting some, he's still walking away at some chunk of money. Even then some, he must have some deal on the table. He must have something, you know, that's lined up, even though nobody knows what it is right now. You just don't walk away from that money without having something pretty secure.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course I think, you know, as the days go on here, we'll probably get some more details on exactly, you know, the financial terms, you know, and what they are. Cause again, first thing this morning was he was, you know, just, that was it. The year was done, whatever he was supposed to get paid, you know, he's just leaving that on the table. But like you said, and I've seen it too on Twitter, no, everything that's due to him up to this point, he's expecting to be paid, which honestly, that's fair, right? I mean, the deferred wages were supposed to get paid. Those are, you know, monies that he earned and he agreed to, you know, defer those to help the club when we were at our darkest hour. So it's fair that he gets paid. So yeah, I mean, if it's a 20 million euro payout from deferred wages and Barca gives him that free bill to go sign with somebody else, that's a really still a pretty good deal. In his eyes, right? And, you know, if you were a player, I would, you know, certainly take that deal as well. There has to be something though, right? Because nobody gives up, regardless of what the monies would be for if he played another year, nobody in their right mind gives up millions of dollars just to say, hey, I'm going to do what's right for the club, right? I mean, you're talking about, this is all he's ever done is played football / soccer. This is all he knows. I don't know if he has other business ventures or not, but we're talking about he's got a new baby coming in July. So he's got a family to take care of. Nobody just says, you don't have to pay me. Don't worry about it. I'll just go for free. You know, nobody does that.
It'll come out. We will find out, like you said, soon enough. Today I decided I'd take out my 2015, 2016. This is a Jordi Alba jersey I'm wearing here. I actually have one. So, yeah. So it's going to be, I think it's one of those that he's, you know, we all, I think, have had amazing moments, Jordi Alba moments, yeah, where he's been the savior with some just amazing just goals or assists that have been just, you know, iconic for, you know, for the club over the years. But, you know, obviously today's Barca community the last couple of years has probably been just living in this torn world where, you know, if all we had was offense, I think we would be happy if we didn't ask him to do any defense. But we know that that's not the reality, and it's definitely not the club we are today. So clearly, you know, as defensively sound as we've shown this Xabi era to be, he's not the man for that moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've saw that in the big games, right? Maybe La Liga, we would be safe if he was starting or playing more minutes, right? But when you're talking about those European competitions, when the tempo and pace is much quicker, I mean, he was certainly a weakness, right? Because, you know, obviously he did a really good job of pushing forward. I mean, you think of all the assists that he had to Messi, you know, and even some of those key goals that helped us win games, you know, even this year and last year and the year before that. But his greatest weakness has always been getting back and getting back in time and playing defense. So, and that's in those big European competition games where we would just get sliced and diced, right? Like in that quick transition, we just could not handle it. So, another player that, you know, I saw there's I don't know if you're on Twitter or not, but there's that image that's been going around that shows the team photo of the championship game, the last time Barca won the Champions League. And as they've left, they get grayed out. And really, I think the only player left in that picture is Ter Stegen. Like everybody else is all grayed out now. And it's, you know, it's actually, I always, you know, when you're in the heat of the moment of the season and some, you know, like him or Busquets made a mistake, you're like, we don't, you know, you're like immediately in attack mode. These guys got to go. We can't use them anymore. But at the minute that they announce that they're leaving, you know, obviously you get empathetic with them, have some sympathy and be like, here's another, you know, club legend club great, you know, leaving, and, you know, really we're almost to that point. Like I said, Ter Stegen being that remaining member, that whole entire team from the last Champion League victory is gone. So it's completely, you know, revamped team. So I don't know. How do you feel when these guys, I mean, we all talk about it, right? So for anybody that's listening, I mention it all the time, our WhatsApp group, we're pretty truthful. We're pretty to the point in that group. But how do you feel when these guys announce that they're, I mean, I didn't expect, I put in the WhatsApp group this morning, in 30 days ago, who would have forecasted that Busquets and Alba would have said that they're leaving the club, you know, this would be their final year. So how do you feel when these guys announce this?
I think it's just, it feels like, okay, I'm just like, okay, I've got to be okay with it, because we've been here all together year over year over year, just wondering when are we going to change up the team? When are we going to get some fresh blood in there, and how are we going to make things different? And it's Xavi. Xavi and what he's doing and the changes with the club. We finally have a momentum moving in forward out of that era. And part of that might be just, you know, maybe that was forced on us with the financial situations, with Messi leaving. Maybe that's been forced on us for, you know, just for the reality of where we are. But I'm just okay with it. I have, you know, I'm not going to, there's no way I'm going to be like, no, Jordy's got to stay. He needs his position. Yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody today that's going to be like, you know, flying that flag.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder, you know, I think when Xavi came in to be the coach, a lot of people, you know, the first thing that you think of is really hard to manage ex-teammates, right? Like, you guys were teammates. Will they respect you as the manager? But it seems like, and we always talk about it, Barcelona's always had this issue with letting players go, right? Like, they've strung it along, or maybe it just seems that way since we've been in, post-pandemic and financial issues or whatever. But it just seems like these decisions just were pretty clean, right? Like, Busquets, there were some rumors leading up to it. You know, he was staying, he was going, nothing really concrete. Then all of a sudden, one day he's leaving, the club posts about it, there's a video. You know that they must have known it for at least a couple days, or at least a day in advance, in order to put those videos together. And the same thing with Alba, Barcelona. I mean, literally probably, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half after I saw the first post from Romero on Twitter, you know, they had a video, you know, out about Jordi Alba. So perhaps they're building these in the background because they know that one day it's going to happen. But it just seems like it's been a pretty clean cut, you know, transaction once somebody announces this. So do you think that Xavi has had a lot of input with these, especially since they've been ex-teammates, where he really can just sit them down one-to-one and say, look, you know, we need to move on. We need to, here's where we're at, right? I don't want you sitting on the bench. I feel bad with your, you know, sitting, especially Alba, because Busquets played a lot more than Alba did this year. You know, so we're just specifically talking about him. Do you think that he's really, you know, been able to say friend to friend, you know, mano a mano, like, hey, look, we just really got to move on? Or do you think it was more of Jordi Alba seeing, hey, all my friends are leaving. Busquets is going to be leaving. Messi's not back. Like, he's, you know, the dynamic in the locker room has changed, right? Like, there's younger players in there. You see them, all the videos, the younger guys are sticking together. Some of the older veterans are kind of by themselves. How do you think that this all went down, where Jordi Alba finally came to the conclusion that I'm done?
I don't feel like Xavi's the forceful coach that's trying to make big changes and push people out. And just, he's, that persona is just, I'm not seeing that type of persona from him. I think we've seen more of the, you know, support and the showing the confidence in all these players. And I think if I had to imagine, I would think Xavi was the coach that would be like, try to convince them to stay and fit today's role and what we could expect from them and to have them continue to contribute. Like, I'm sure you would love Boosie to continue to contribute and be in a role that would just slightly be different than what he's doing today, instead of being the focus week in and week out. But the reality is, you know, I think time comes for everybody and they see the writing on the wall. And I think if there's a good time to leave as a champion, like, you know, this is it. Like, you know, yeah, go out on, you know, on this parade here, instead of next year, who knows what happens next year. So, yeah. I think this is a positive. This is the way you go. So, yeah, like you said, it may not have, you know, this may have all come together in, you know, the moment they became champions, it solidified their decisions. That's how I probably see it.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that kind of resonates with me is there was a game, I don't remember the game, not too long ago, within the last, I think last month maybe, where, and maybe you saw it on social media, where Gavi is kind of close to Xavi on the sidelines there. It's kind of a view where they're looking out from the bench onto the field. And Jordi Alba is coming on for Rafinha. And Gavi is like physically pissed about Alba coming on for Rafinha. And I just remember that. And I'm like, you know, there's like dynamics are certainly changing in this locker room where, you know, you had Messi, you had Busquets, you had Alba, you had players like that, that owned the locker room. Right. I mean, they were the veterans. And then we got these new guys coming in. And as soon as I heard that Jordi Alba announcement this morning, that video just like flashed in my mind, and I'm like, things are changing. So I think it's a combo of a bunch of things, and you're right. Now it's time to go, right? Like camp, they won't play in Camp Nou next year. They'll be in the smaller Olympic stadium. You know, do you want to say goodbye there with, you know, half the fans, or do you want to go out now? So there's just a lot of dynamics at play, but I think we're all, you know, open to this. I think we all are good with this because we knew that we have to move on. We have to get younger. We have to get more athletic. We have to build up, you know, the style of play that's quicker, especially for those European nights. So we'll certainly celebrate, you know, his fantastic career at Barcelona. Maybe best left back we've ever had. And maybe that's for another discussion point, but I think he's, you know, certainly at the top of the list, especially when you talk about loving Barca's style, that free flowing scoring style, and the amount of assists that he had kicked in from that left hand side. But I'm certainly sure more discussions about Jordi will come as we move along. So let's move forward and let's talk about Barcelona losing to Real Valladolid. I don't know how you feel, but I am competitive, right? And so I don't like to lose any of the games. And, you know, so I always have to take a step back and not, you know, again, you know, my go-to is to just start chirping in the WhatsApp group or talk to my friends and just really, you know, not be happy about it. I'm still not happy about the competitive spirit that I saw in that game. The league's won, right? The league's won. Should we expect more, or should we be okay with the way that game played out? And I guess the previous game against Sociedad, like, I mean, that's two consecutive losses, one in our house, one on the road. Should we be okay with this? Or is this something that as Barca fans, we should demand more from this team?
I echoed Craig's sentiment that, you know what, I could almost care less if we lost 4-0 the rest of these games. You know, I think though, you know, I'd probably step a little bit farther away from that after watching the second game in a row of us losing. You know, it's just painful to watch. It's just super painful to watch when you know, that they're there. It, from a numbers perspective, no, I really don't care. I wanted that championship. That was the key here, is that I'm thankful for winning this championship through what really was a ton of adversity throughout the year. But, you know, am I surprised by, you know, this, the fact that, you know, that how we got here, how is it that we're here playing the way we are playing in the last two games? Part of me is not surprised by that, because I make this analogy, and this is funny. One of my favorite comedians back from the 80s, so I'm going to date myself here. Yeah. Named Stephen Wright, you know, King of Deadpan. You know, if anybody knows him, one of his lines was, "The human body is made up of 98% water. That means everybody is that far away from drowning." And when I think about that joke, right? I felt like we were that just that far away from drowning on any given day, on any given game. And the analogy is that when you look at the spectrum of, you know, confidence in our ability to win across the spectrum all season long, you know, in the past, you'd have the 200-pound messy elephant on one side of the teeter-totter, you know, and it didn't matter how bad we played. Very rarely did that tip the teeter-totter the other way. We always had Messi, right? We always had something. We always had something. But this year, I feel like we're just sitting right there in the middle, right? We could just sway to the left. We sway a little bit to the right, and things just fall apart. And I think this season, just even when you look at the fact that we had five Real Madrid matches that we, you know, Clasicos, if you look back in those and you look at the first loss, 3-1, you know, we had Eric and Sergi in there for Araujo and Christensen.
Yeah.
We didn't do too well, right? When we lost those two. No. Yeah. We then win the Supercopa with the Gala 11. We had everybody. We had the perfect mix. And guess what? We dominated them 1-3, right? Then you go into the first away leg of the Copa and you lose Dembele and you lose Pedri and Christensen. And guess what's happening there? You know, we actually win, but we win so ugly. It was just, you know, with a nil win one away. And then, of course, we win. We only lost Pedri for the 2-1 win in La Liga, but we had a solid back line. We had the back, right? We had Balde, Christensen, Rahu, and Koundé. We had everybody in place. The only person we didn't have, and we won 2-1 with only losing Pedri. And then we had a disastrous loss when you saw the fact that Alonso was in there for Christensen. We had Sergi and Kessie in there for Pedri and FDJ, and we fell apart. So I feel like we've been living on, you know, we're just like this close away from drowning, you know, like either we just needed this perfect, we needed that perfect 11 all season for us to be able to be successful. And, you know, you start taking away a couple of those players and all of a sudden the performances, I mean, I think that Real Madrid, the El Clasicos were a perfect example of what happens when we lose players and we have too many substitutes. We just were not strong enough in depth. So guess what? You get into these two final games here with zero, you know, you got no motivation. There's no way these two games, our players are ever going to be up for it as Valladolid, or as up for it as, you know, La Real was going to be. And we've got two more games to have to endure. and you've got these, you know, you had no Pedri, no Busi, no Koundé, you know, and it just doesn't surprise me at this point that we were that close every game from, you know, what was it? Also, here's the other stat, 14 times we won 1-0.
Yeah.
14.
Yeah. Call that luck, maybe.
I mean, we're that close from not winning.
Yeah, yeah, really. I mean, So you're right. I mean, yes, we all know that there's, you know, you got your 11 and or 12 players. You know, if they're all healthy, you know, we can compete. Obviously, in La Liga, we won't talk about the on the European side. But my biggest thing with this team, and it has been with Barca for a while now, is their lack of ability to like keep a certain level of intensity or competitiveness. You know what I mean? Like they really can turn it off, like off, you know what I mean? And they can turn it on, right? When we're playing Madrid, it's never a question, right? Have you ever questioned, you know, Barca's intensity or competitiveness when they're playing Madrid? I can't remember ever questioning that. Maybe the second half of the 4-0 game where we're getting our asses kicked, they probably turned it off and are like, this game's over, but that's kind of natural. But you know that all these other La Liga teams, when they play Barca or they play Madrid, that's like their shining light of the season, right? Like they turn it up to 11. Yeah. Yeah. They want to give it all. I mean, their goal in life at that time is to beat us. And I've just always worried, like, how as professional athletes, can you just go out there and just be like, Oh well, you know what I mean? Like if we lost like 2-1 or, you know, like by a goal or something like that, you know, where it was close, you could tell they were trying, but to be down like 3-0 against Valladolid, you know, like a team that's fighting to stay above the relegation zone, to me, I was like, it just enraged me. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, yeah, you only, I know the league's won. I know that this isn't the normal starting lineup, but there was just some players out there that were just like, this, we're out here because we're getting paid to be out here. We got to be out here. But you could clearly see it in their body language that they could care less if they won or lost. And so I guess the future thinking me is always like, they got to get to a level where they're, and even Chavi said it, like he said in the press conference, like we got issues with, you know, being competitive or that intensity. When will this team like build it up? Like, here's a minimum level of intensity that we have to have no matter who we're playing. Because if you look at the championship teams across all sports, right? I know you watch multiple sports, like they all have this minimum. Yeah, do they get caught, you know, where they're surprised and you can tell there's a game that, you know, maybe they just come off a big, you know, a big victory. We see it all the time, right? Teams come off big victories. The next game, they're playing a lesser opponent and they get caught. That's a natural motion in sports because you can't be that high up in the intensity level or focus all the time, right? But so that's why I said for the Sociedad game, I thought, oh, that's okay. Like, not a big deal. We just won the league. They're partying all week, 2-1. They're a team that's playing really good football right now. You know, they're fighting, you know, they have something to fight for, right? They're fighting for Champions League. I get that game. But this game on this weekend, for me, just really rubbed me wrong. And I'm like, okay, like, I know we're at the end of the season. We're just going to wash it, put it under the bridge for this year. But next year, when things are changing, you know, that's like the one key thing that I'd like to see is that they set that minimum level of competitiveness up a notch. Because like you talked about, all those 1-0 games, you know, 14, what'd you say? Were there 14 or 15? 14 game. One mistake, right? One Eric Garcia foul in the box, you know, one mistake by Ter Stegen, you know, one bad pass by, you know, Boozy, stuff like that. And those, you know, 14 games could have been 7-7, right? Seven wins, maybe seven draws. Or, I mean, that's really, when you look at those games, that's about as, that's obviously as good as Barca, the odds of them, you know, getting those points from those games could have been. In a different world, a lot of those games we, you know, we draw or maybe we even lose. So that's what I'm just, in some of those games that we won 1-0, we did what we had to do to score that goal. And then you could just see the team settle down like it's not a big deal. And that's what I'm talking about, that like level. We got to get to that winning. And I guess we'll just not, let's not say it's intensity or competitiveness. It's that winning level. Like, we know, okay, 1-0 in the league is not good enough. We need to put another one in and let's close this game out. You know what I mean? You just, I think this team still lacks that. And maybe it's because you have those older players who are team leaders that knew, hey, I'm probably out of here next year. And then you got a bunch of other younger guys that, you know, lack that leadership quality. But for me, again, I'm super happy they won the league. Don't get me wrong. And that's what I wanted as well. I'm happy that they're back. I don't want to be that guy that's like complaining no matter what. But for me, that'll be like a key thing to look at for next year. Like, can they turn it up a notch, you know, in those games that they have to when we're playing, you know, opponents like we did this weekend, so we can either come out with a draw or a win and turn those into points. So we'll see what happens there. All right, Koundé. So I was in my being pissed off hangover about this game, and then I heard this Koundé rumor that Koundé, you know, there was a rumor on Twitter that he says, go ahead and sell me if you have the opportunity, sell me. You know, and it was kind of mixed in. I'm not happy, you know, playing right back. You know, and some people said he was guaranteed to play center back, and that's where he wants to play. So, of course, in the WhatsApp group, I'm taking a really hard stance on this. I'm like, sell him. Like, if this is Barcelona, like, this is a privilege to play here. You knew what you're signing up for. And if a guy is saying, hey, go ahead and sell me, then I do what he's asking and sell his ass and get him out of here. I, of course, kind of come down from that because I was, again, I was really not happy about that game. What do you think? What do you think about Koundé? First, do you think these rumors are true? And regardless of if they are, what do you think if a guy, let's say that they were true, and not just specifically about Koundé, but just anybody, if a Barca player says, just go ahead and sell me, what's with somebody like that?
You know, I mean, that for the first part of this is, you know, are the rumors true or not? And so I think over the years, I've done a very good job of just being able to compartmentalize rumors and facts and going, okay, if, you know, did he say it? What context did he say it in that he'd be open to? Was he set up with the question about would he be willing and want to, you know, all the conversations we heard and rumors of, you know, him saying he's not happy with, you know, playing, you know, at right back at verse. And again, you don't know the context or the translation. And so for me, I let that just sit out here and I don't, you know, I don't give it much credence to the rumors. I'll let Xavi figure out how to best handle, you know, whether or not he's going to support it or not. But in the end, if you legitimately, to your point, your question, someone absolutely wants to leave, well, then you've got to figure out a way to let them go, because if they're not happy, it's just there would be way too many negative impacts to the club just keeping them there because they have an obligation. That doesn't make any sense. So I hope it's not the case. You know, he came to Barcelona for a reason, and I hope that, you know, it really isn't between center back and right back that's going to be like the different that's going to make or break him in his happiness level at the club. We'll see what happens. Yeah. And just more to come on that.
Yeah, you were obviously probably when you saw that in a better emotional state than I was, because like I said, I actually had to watch this weekend's game later. I was traveling, so I wasn't able to watch it live. And so again, I kind of had just watched it. I always watch the Barca games twice because I just like to check things out. And of course, when these Koundé rumors had come out, I had just got done watching it a second time. So I was really not happy about things. But for Koundé, let's keep talking about him because, okay, so let's say this was all a rumor. And again, coming out this week, you know, there was, or yesterday or today even, there was a second side to that saying, no, that's not what he said. You know, it's being blown out of proportion. And I get that. And, you know, but they were saying some things about the locker room. You know, he's feeling uneasy. Now the board is like alert to him because of this, whatever. So let's just squash that and say that's not what he meant. He wants to stay. We only have room for two starting center backs. So who do you start? Because now we have this conundrum, but maybe not such a big of one, because you got Araujo, you got Christensen, you got Koundé. Okay, let's say Barca goes out into the market, albeit and signs a right back, although they have come out and said that's not a priority, but let's say they do, right? Let's say they sign a better than average right back. So we don't have to have Koundé shifting over to the right back for most games, or Araujo. Maybe there's an occasional game based on a setup, but for all intents and purposes, we have a starting right back. Who do you start as the two center backs?
I still start Araujo and Christensen. I mean, yeah. I think Christensen, you know, I'm not going to penalize him for this own goal from a couple days ago. That's, you know, obviously quite a fluke there. But he is just proven he's proven over and over and over again how solid and what an amazing get we've had for him. And I love it. I love the pairing. I love two tall center backs in the back. And Christensen for me is just, as long as he can stay healthy, he's got to stay and he's got to also start. So, I mean, we would be ideal, right? Let's be selfish and say, yeah, we want Koundé. I mean, to rotate, right? Because guess what will happen? We're going to put Araujo, unless we get a really good right back, we're going to put Araujo on Vinny again, and we're going to need Koundé in there anyways. So at least twice a year that we need him back there. But we definitely, and then of course, if we want to make a good Champions League run and we're playing every 3 days, again, we need these center backs, and someone's going to get hurt. The reality is someone's going to get hurt. They always do. And so he has a place. There's clearly a place for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was going to go to, the injuries, right? Because Araujo's been injured. Christensen's been injured. So, you know, we don't want to obviously ship out somebody when we don't have any depth, right? Because the last thing you want to have is Eric Garcia in on there. I mean, obviously we've seen what he's done, like, or not done for us, or the damage that he's done. And so, yeah, we certainly need to obviously keep Koundé, keep him happy. And again, that's a 180 from where I was yesterday, where in the WhatsApp group, I said, ship his ass off. So, but I've smartened up a little bit here in the last 24 hours, and maybe then that gives us the chance for rotation, right? Because that's been that's an issue with Barcelona. Like, again, we talked about, you know, with these going back to these 1-0 wins, like we have that, you know, that starting 11 or starting 12, but we know that there's such a dip in talent, you know, outside of that, you know, we certainly can't let him go. And then we know that these seasons go long. There's so many competitions, so you can't always start Araujo and Christensen, who, by the way, would be my starting two as well. But you can't start them every game. So it would give you the availability to do some rotation. But that means that somebody or maybe all of them are not going to be able to play as, you know, every game like they like to. So, but we'll have to see how Xavi works that out. So, and I don't know if he even has any offers anyway, right? You know, but for me, like I said, I'm with you, Christensen. Certainly starts over Koundé. The guy was a free transfer, obviously a brilliant pickup, but bigger for me than the transfer policy or free transfer was the guys always wanted to play for Barca. He's got those pictures up when he was a little kid. He's in his, you know, little Barca kit or whatever. And those are the players that usually, when this is a dream come true for them, you know, they'll do anything for the team, anything for the squad. And he's just come in and done that. Been the most solid, not the fanciest, not the flashiest, not the most athletic, but just absolutely rock solid when he's healthy. And so so we'll see how that all plays out. Obviously,
I'll jump in and just say we can't forget that we're pretty much, I mean, everything in Inigo Martinez, I mean, is coming. Yeah. So if you've got Inigo Martinez coming, you know, let's hope that he's willing to play that secondary, you know, type, you know, center back role. Then I mean, I selfishly, I'd love it. I'd love to have all four of them, right?
Yeah.
Araujo, Christensen, Koundé, Inigo Martinez, and then that'd be amazing. And we need a right back.
Yeah, you could even have a fifth for depth in there of Chadi Riad, who I think, you know, I cover a lot of the youth activities, and he's a player that's been earmarked to start getting time with the first team. Again, he knows our style. I mean, he's been in La Masia for multiple years now. He can pass out of the back, you know, where I think Koundé's biggest weakness is his passing, but he can certainly pass out of the back. He knows how to play within our style. We've seen it time and time again that these players that come out of La Masia, you know, where you might not hear about them being the greatest youth player on the planet, but look, but for me, he's another Balde, right? Like, how many people, if you Barca fans that didn't pay attention to, you know, Barca B or Juvenal A, knew anything about Balde before, you know, Xavi gave him a chance to start? Nobody knew anything hardly about him. You know, they just knew he's a guy, you know, that we had to put in there because of, you know, the circumstances with the finances and things like that. But look at him now, right? Now we're saying, oh, we got a world-class left back for the next 10 years. And, you know, of course he came from La Masia, so they're, you know, pumping him up or whatever. But Chadi Riad is that same type of player where he just needs to get the chance. And hopefully he gets that time coming this season. Cause to me, he's a quality player, big kid too. I don't know if you've ever seen him, like, physically, he's a big kid, reminds me of Araujo, plays a lot like Araujo, better passer, but has that intensity and that passion to, you know, put his body on the line and do whatever it takes to, you know, on the defensive side. So everything looks good for us on that center back position here from now on into the future. We obviously need to get Araujo. His deal needs to be registered. Balde's deal needs to be registered. Gavi's deal needs to be registered. So we got a lot of things going on with those, but that's for a whole nother episode. So, and that gives us a lot to talk about in the summertime. But all right, lastly, so like I said in the intro, you are from the Peña down in Houston. You're the president, you know, and you do put together trips for people, for Peña members to come over to the U.S. You did it this year. But obviously this summer, Barca's coming to the U.S. They're coming to you. So any news on the tour that's going to happen? I know that they're obviously playing Madrid. They're playing Arsenal. I don't even remember who else they're playing after that. I know there's three or four games. But any updates or news or need items we should know?
The sales took place. We had a busy week. The sales kicked off last week because I'm here in Houston in the backyard of the El Clasico tour in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. Thank goodness, first off, that they're at AT&T Stadium and not the Cotton Bowl this year. So I've taken a lead along with one of my fellow Peñas in Austin, and we are going to be working on putting together a Friday night activity event for all the ticket, all those who bought pre-sale tickets from us initially. So we're going to have a Friday event somewhere in Dallas. We're going to have, it's a great way to just, you know, people are coming into town to gather. We're going to be opening that up, hopefully, depending on the space, for as many people as we can and other Kool-Aids to show up. But we're also inviting the club and all the traveling executives. And, you know, in 2018, not only that, but we actually had Luis Garcia, a legend, was there, who we see on ESPN all the time. He was there as well. So we're hoping that, you know, with any luck, cross our fingers, we're going to have some maybe a legend, maybe a player. So we've got a lot of things we're working on right now to have that Friday event and make that a successful event for the traveling fans. Saturday, we're seeing what's possible up there for possible a pre-match event. But ultimately, again, you know, it's, we've got Dallas with El Clasico. SoFi has got in L.A. the Arsenal right? match. Yeah. We got, they're back at Allegiant there in Las Vegas, the Raiders Stadium again for, I believe, I think it might be, don't know. And that it might be AC Milan, I think. And then Juventus up at, in San Francisco. So my friend Matt Manson, the president up there, he's organizing events for that as well. So we've got, again, the summer tour is here. It's always kind of exciting. It's what, you know, I think the reality, the one thing that, you know, constantly people have concerns with is like how expensive the tickets are for these type of events. Yeah. But we also know that, that this is just a, this is, yes, it's a true preseason, you know, yes, they're training. And they, you know, they take it serious from that aspect, but it's clearly a money-making endeavor project, in and year out. And the United States is just prime for that. I've been to everyone 2017, 18, 19, last year, and 22. And here we are again with another tour. So we are very fortunate if we think about the U.S. versus the rest of the world for these tours to be able to have them come. And it's a great celebration is kind of what it is. To be able to be out there with fellow Kool-Aids and, you know, in, you know, Troy, this is right up your alley, right? Because it's the kids are playing. They're getting lots of minutes out there. So it's always a pleasure to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously, with all the transactions that, you know, people are forecasting for this summer, you know, there have been years in the past where Barca, where it was a lot of the kids, right? So it's time, you know, it's just, you know, the stars were taking the summer off. It was long season or whatever. But I think the last couple of years that they've come, a good amount of the roster has come, if not all of it. Right. I mean, obviously I think that for the El Clasico in Las Vegas, I think everybody was there, you know, for some of those games. So these are all pretty big games. Right. So I think that the rosters that they'll bring will be pretty loaded. And then we're going to have a lot of, I think we'll have new players, right? You know, based on the selling that goes on and the additions that we bring in. And so I think that what Barca wants to do is really utilize this time instead of just playing only the kids and doing that type of tour where we're getting these new players in locked and loaded as quick as they can so they can hit the pitch and start to develop with their teammates. So if you're, That's my opinion. I think that's what they'll do. So if you're out there, you're in the United States and you're a Barca fan and you're on the fence for getting tickets, my advice would be I would buy those tickets. I think you'll see the majority of the roster, if not all of it, plus the new players. And so, yeah, it is normally expensive, but I think you'll get your money's worth. And because there's, like you were talking about, there's usually a lot of activities, you know, outside of the stadium before the game goes on. I remember, I think it was, I forget the last year they played down in Dallas. It was either 2017 or 2018. I mean, it was a day full of activities. We were there against, I believe it was against Roma that they played, and we were there, and it was super fun. Definitely worth all the money. Obviously, these are a little bit more expensive than it was back then, but still worth the money. So, and I think obviously your game that you're talking about in Dallas, the tickets were pretty steep. But
the El Clasico tickets last 2 years, because of El Clasico, they clearly are taking advantage of that. I will say, if you were traveling, go to San Francisco, go to Las Vegas, and you'll have really like a quarter of the price.
Yeah. I had looked up the tickets for the Arsenal game at SoFi, and they were definitely more than 50% cheaper than El Clasico. El Clasico is going to sell out. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but there is nothing like, doesn't matter where it's at. Obviously seeing it in Camp Nou is a little bit more special, but there's nothing like seeing an El Clasico, even if it's in the United States. So I'm still undecided on whether I want to go to that game or the Arsenal game, but I got a little bit of time here and to decide. But Victor, I thank you for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Again, as I said last week and the previous weeks, it's going to be the summertime madness. We're just heating up here. We're supposedly going to hear another announcement by time Sunday's game, the last game in Camp Nou, as we know it now, comes on. So there'll be some more chatter about potentially another player leaving. But we'll leave that for the other guys to maybe Remy can record that on Friday, or Gabriel and Craig on the following week. We'll see what happens. But I appreciate you joining me. Thanks so much. Take care. See you all you Kool-Aids later.
Hey, Visca Barca.
Sports Social Podcast Network.